zij God met diepst ontzag.
This is Samuel Lee World Evangelism, reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dr. Samuel Lee brings you a dynamic, life-changing message from the World Evangelism Center in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. As you listen to this message, your life will never be the same again.
Today I'm going to start with a new series of teaching. I want you to open with me the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 35 till 45. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark, chapter 10. Mark is not in the Old Testament, eh? It's in the New Testament, please. For those who don't know. Mark chapter 10. Are you there? From verse 35, I'm reading. If you are there, say amen. Amen. Mark chapter 10, from verse 35, I read on. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, that means to Jesus. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Verse 38. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they said. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. Verse 41. When the 10 disciples heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And everybody said, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 years ago, two disciples of Jesus, John and James, went to Jesus and said, we want you to do whatever we ask you to do for us. And I think that is the prayer of many of you today, that you may pray to God and say, God, whatever I am praying, do it for me. How many of you like that? I think all of you. And if you don't raise your hand, you're hiding something. Praise the Lord. We all love God to do things for us, isn't it? We all want to go to God and say, God, we want you to do whatever we want. And we put a verse on it that when we pray in your name, everything we ask, you're going to do for us. 2,000 years ago, these two disciples went to Jesus. Let me tell you something. They didn't try it one time. They tried two times. One time, they sent also their mother to go to Jesus. You know, the mother of John and James. They went to Jesus and said, Jesus. She said, Jesus, can I ask you a favor? Jesus said, Mother, whatever you ask me, tell me. She said, can my two sons sit at your left and right in the days of your glory? You see, the challenge of recognition is in the heart of every man, isn't it? We all want to be recognized. We all want to be acknowledged. From the time we are born, even as a child, when you begin to cry, you want the acknowledgement of the whole environment around you. By crying, you want to say, I exist. Hello? Have you ever seen a child born crying? Why they are crying? There is an acknowledgement inside of them saying that I want the attention of the people around me. And that acknowledgement is in the heart of every human being. Not only in the heart of every human being, but in the heart of nations even. We want always to be the best. We want to have good friends around us and sit always at the right hand or left hand. And sometimes countries want to be the best. You know what I'm talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, today I want to start a new series with you for coming weeks. And the name of this series is You and God. You and God. And in these coming weeks, I'm going to teach you about your relationship with God. You and God. The question I ask you today is this. Where is God in your life? Hello? Where is God in your life? What position God has in your life? Come on now, don't look at me so serious. You see, because we all want to be at the right hand of God. But is God at your right hand? Where is God in your life? What is the position of God in your life? How important is God to you? Because you want to be at the left or the right hand of God. You want to have position with God. But where is the position of God in your life? And that is exactly the question they ask from Jesus. Jesus, we want to be at your left or your right hand. But Jesus said, that position, I am not going to decide for it. It depends, listen to me, it depends to different circumstances. What does it mean? It is not Jesus who chooses you to sit at his right hand or left hand. It is you who must choose for Jesus to sit at your left hand or your right hand. Because when you let Jesus to sit at your left hand or your right hand, then you are at the left or the right hand of Jesus. In other words, do you allow Jesus to be positioned in your life? Does Jesus have a seat in your life? Where does he sit in your life? Where is Jesus in your life? And many people today, when I ask them these questions, they become so religious, so holy. They say, well, I believe in Jesus. Jesus is a number one in my life. Jesus is number one. Italians say numero uno. Number one in my life. Jesus is the center of my life. You see, we are very good in talking. Hello. We are very good in talking, but it is not the talking that shows where Jesus is in your life. My question today is, where is Jesus in your life? What is his position in your life? Does he have the seat of honor in your life? Does he have the seat of decision in your life? Where is Jesus? And I know that if I ask the Christians, is God number one in your life? Then they will say, for sure God is number one in my life. But I wonder why so many Christians divorce. So many Christians fight. I wonder why so many Christians are even nowadays ending up in prison. Well, if you put God number one in your life, how can you end up there? Unless you are persecuted for Christ and you go to prison and not for stealing and robbing and... You know what I'm talking about. Where is God in your life? Have you ever asked you the question from yourself? These coming weeks, my teaching is you and God. Say me and God. You and God. You and God. What is the position of you and God? Where does God sit in your life? Where is the position of God in your life? Is God really the first in your life? Many people say yes. But maybe after I preach to you, your answer will not be yes. Because you will realize that God is not at first place in your life at all. How come? How can we know God is at first place in our lives? Open with me the book of Proverbs chapter 16 verse 3. Open with me. The book of Proverbs chapter 16 verse 3. Where is God in your life? Proverbs chapter 16 verse 3. When you are there, shout amen. Amen. Proverbs 16 verse 3 said this: commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Listen again. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans, in some translation, your purpose will be succeed. Can you repeat after me? Say, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans, your purpose will succeed. He said, some translation said, listen very carefully, some translation said, in everything you do, put God number one, and he shall crown you with the glory of success. Is God number one in your life? Anything that you do, anything that you try, is he number one in your life? When you put him number one in your life, when you put him at your right hand or your left hand or in the center of your life, this is the promise of the Lord, that whatever you do shall be successful. Hallelujah. Commit to the Lord. Be committed to the Lord. Whatever you do, put him at your first place. He number one. His words number one. His commandments number one. When you do that, success, blessing, prosperity, love, anointing, joy, happiness shall follow you. But it depends, where is God in your life? Where is today God in your life? How far or how near is God to you today? You and God. You see, when I tell you some things today, before you leave this building, you realize that, hey, maybe God is not that near to me as I think. Not because of God, but because of you, because of me. Listen to me. I ask you one more question. Is God at the center of your life? Is he really at the center of your life? How do you know he is? How can you assure me that he is at the center of your life? There are 3 points I can give you for you to recognize whether he is at the center of your life or not. Number one, what is it that you desperately want in your life? It can be money. It can be mammon, money. It can be fame. It can be husband. It can be wife. Hey, what is it that you are desperate for in life? And there is nothing wrong with that, people of God. There is nothing wrong to be desperate for something. But the question is this: when God comes and says, give it up, are you ready to give it up? When you are not ready to give it up, that very thing that you are not ready to give it up is your God. Hey, the club offerings are very few today because I'm cutting something. Because I'm not here today to give you a wishy-washy Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, gazzy message. I'm here to preach to you so that your life will be changed. Hey, feel like preaching today. What is it that you desperately want in your life? Sometimes our life is consumed with the things of the world. The things in our life that they replace God. Are you listening to me? And those precious things in your life that you are not ready to give up, they can be your God. And there is a verse in the Bible said, "Thou shalt not worship other gods than me." To whom did he say that? To Israelites. Israelites, who are they? Believers. Why he said it to the believers? Why? Because they can say they love God, but they still worship another God. That is how the Israelites did. They said, Jehovah is my God, but they still worship Baal. Are you listening to me, somebody? So, the first clue for you to find out whether God is in the center of your life is this. Ask yourself a question. What is it that makes you desperate in life? Something that you want to have. Maybe money, maybe wife, maybe husband, maybe fame, maybe recognition, maybe this, maybe that. That very this and that can be your God. And you are moving around in your life and you are thinking, why am I not blessed? Well, open your eyes. Because in the seat of God, someone else is sitting. Something else is sitting. It can be money, it can be everything. So, that is the point number one. What makes you desperate in life? Hello. Jesus Christ. You see, don't let me... Jesus. Can I talk today? Let me tell you something. Sometimes there are some things we want in life that we become totally blind. We even begin to forget God. Hello. You see, sometimes we want money because our situation is not good. You see, and because we want money and we want to get rich fast, what do? We go to a certain business that is not from God. And we do certain things that are not from God. And let me tell you something, the devil always bless first 2 times, 3 times. But number 4, he will beat your head. Hello. For money, listen to me. If money has the seat of God in your life, there is something wrong with you. If God said, are you ready to lose your money for me? And you are not doing it, there is something wrong with you. Are you ready to let God to sit in the place of money in your life? Come on. You say, but Pastor, I'm poor. You know, I'm suffering. Let me tell you a story of a Filipino businessman I met when I was in Florence, Italy. I want to share with you the testimony of a Filipino man. I was in a conference, and this man even don't know I'm around. He went on the podium and he gave a testimony. He said, for many years ago, God sent me to come to Italy to do the work. But when I came here, I have nothing to do. I don't know what to do. I am in a trouble. And I read this book by Samuel Lee, Blessed Migrant, the book that I wrote. And when he read that book, he realized that, hey, he is not just a migrant in this society. He is a called out one by God. He's a missionary of Christ, and he began to act like that. And you know what happened? Within few months, God opened the door for him to travel to French-speaking Canada. You see, the man don't speak French at all. But God opened the door for him to go to the French-speaking Canada. Because somehow God is calling him there. But he doesn't know why and how. He goes there. Now, he is jobless. He has no job. And I know some of you today also have no job. You are here just jobless. I want to encourage you today. And he went there, and there was this job because he has studied for computer in his country. For IT. Just some of you also are very highly educated back in Nigeria, back in Ghana. But he had nothing. And that man there also. And it is French speaking. He don't even speak French. He applied for a job, and guess what? He got the job. He got the job. As soon as he got the job, he was blessed and blessed and blessed. But one day there came a time that the boss said, you have to work on Sundays. You have to work on Sundays. And you know what happened? The man said, I'm a Christian. Sundays belongs to God. And I honor God for my Sundays. You know? He resigned from his job. A very high class job. He resigned. And you know what did he do? He became a cleaner in another company. A computer company. He cleaned at night so that Sundays he can go to church. Look at God's faithfulness. Look at his faithfulness to God. This shows where is God in his life. This proves where is God in his life. So because of that, he gave up his high class salary, wonderful, and he began to be cleaner. And he cleaned the place so good that after 3-4 weeks, the president of that company came and said, who is the man cleaning this place? They said, that Filipino guy. They went to him. He said, who are you? He said, well, I'm specialized in IT. But because I want to go to church, I lose my job to clean in your place. Listen very carefully to me. Now, what happened? The boss of the company said, well, are you good in IT? Go to the computer department, sit with that woman, let her see what are you good at. When he went there and he sit there, the woman called the boss and said, this man, he doesn't need to learn anything. He already is a big man in this computer system. So what happened? The boss said, I don't want you to clean anymore. Come and work in the office. So he went and worked in the office. But he said, I'm a Christian. I don't go to work on Sundays, huh? God is number one in my life. Now, listen to me what happened. Few months he worked there. His job was so good that the boss promoted him to a higher level. He went to a higher level. Today, as I am talking to you, he is the second man in the company. He's traveling with the private jet of his boss all over the world and arranging the business of the company from China to Africa, Singapore, all over the world. He has the platinum card of American Express for the company. He can use anything he wants, whatever he wants, just because he put God at first in his life. Sometimes, in order for you to get big things, don't bite the small things. Are you listening to me, somebody? Sometimes the devil wants to give you a candy to satisfy you. But God don't want to give you a candy. God wants to give you promotion, blessing, anointing, love, courage, power. Don't bite those small things. Well, brother, if you do this job is... No, put God first in your life. What does God think about this job? What does God think about this action? What does God think about what I am doing? You see, put God first in your life. Hello? Are you listening to me? I want just to give you some examples. Some of you young men and women, I really love you. I love young men and women. But I want to advise you something, especially for my sisters. My sisters, young sisters. Listen to me very carefully. Don't be desperate for a husband or a wife. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it is better for you not to marry than to marry a devil. Let me put it this way. What is important in your life? God or a husband or a wife that you want to catch? Let me tell you something. If you catch an ungodly husband or an ungodly wife, there is no place for God in your life. But when you catch the godly God, the loving God, then there will be a godly husband and wife in your life. Where is God in your life? And let me tell you something. I have compassion for women. Women, don't get mad at me now, because I want to tell you something. Your big brother, your daddy want to tell you something. Don't trust man. I'm sorry, man. I'm not talking about married man. I'm talking about even some married man don't trust. Listen, this is what I want to tell you. Listen to me. Do you know why I say don't trust man? Because until today, what I have seen in my life, because women are very good in producing a child in somebody's womb who is not your wife. And as soon as you know that the woman has a child, you are no more serious. And this is what I want to tell you to my sisters. If you let that man to produce that child inside of you, and 3 years later, you are walking with 2-3 children in the street, and the father is somewhere else manipulating with his own life, it is your mistake. Where is God in your life? I want to choose God and his righteousness, his power. Don't get mad at me now. It is better me to hurt you than the devil to hurt you. Where is God in your life? Is God in your life or a man in your life? A woman in your life? Let me come to men also. Some men, let me tell you something. You are good people and you have a good heart, and some women, they chop you easily. You don't even know. Your eyes are closed. They are already chopping you. Who is God in your life? The girl? Let me tell you something. If Shandoraba, the girl can chop you, my friend, your money, your credit card. Yes, can chop you. And you open your eyes. Oh, but I thought she loved me. Hey. When love is not built upon cross, when love is not built upon the rock, when love is not built upon the word of God, nothing is useful, worthless. I am preaching to you so that in judgment day you will not say, preacher, you didn't tell me. Huh? Some of you, for the sake of having a child, you are trying already with 2-3 men to get it. My friend, it's not about having a child. It's about living a dignity life. One woman said, Pastor, I'm trying. I said, what are you trying? I'm trying small. What are you trying small? With man to get pregnant, but I'm not getting pregnant. I said, thank God you are not getting pregnant. Because the way you are doing it. Are you married to this man? No. In fact, it's not one man. 2-3, I'm trying. Yes. I'm not joking. It's a reality. Where is God in your life? Come on now. Where is God in your life? Is money your God? Are you ready for money to steal, to chop, to kill? Are you ready for money to do? Walk over your friends and brothers and sisters and your mother and father for money? That money is your God. And let me tell you something. That money will kill you one day. Sometimes, what is our God? What is our God? Sometimes ministry can be our God. Church can be our God. Sometimes we love ministry so much that we begin to hurt people in the name of God. Do you know what I call it? Religion. Let me tell you something. When you love God too much that you begin to hate people and you become religious to them, and all the time you are criticizing them all the time, then you are a religious person and God is not your God. Religion is your God. And when you love people too much that you forget God, then you are a humanist. None of them is good. We need balance. I'm not only talking about you. I'm talking about preachers. God is my witness. Today, if I would have chosen for money to be the center of my life, I was not preaching to you here today. I'm telling you, I was one of the richest people. If I wanted, do you know how? By chopping you. But I choose not to chop. I choose to stand for integrity. I choose to fight against those shakurabas and them. I don't want to open my mouth today, honestly. For me, suits and neckties and crocodile shoe does not matter. Where is God in your life? You and God, where is God in your life? Hello? These are some examples I give to you to realize. You want husband? My sister, make God be your husband. My brother, may God be your wife. Then he will provide for you the best wife, the best husband, that the gates of hell cannot stand against it. Oh, my Jesus Christ. Proverbs said, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your purpose will be successful. What is the purpose of your life? Are you listening to me? Put it in God. So the first clue was that, what is it that you desperately want in your life? Be careful, because that very thing that you desperately want in your life can become your idol. Hello? Hello? Number two clue that I want to tell you is this. What does consume your thinking pattern? Huh? The whole day, what are you thinking about? That thing that you think about the whole day is the God that you are meditating on. Huh? What is it that consume your thinking pattern? What? What is it? Out of 24 hours a day, what are you thinking about? That is your God. Don't get angry to me. Some men, the only thing they think about is that thing. Yes. But come on. I just want to open my mouth very frank with you. Then that thing is your God. You have the power to control your thinking. What are you thinking about? Some of you think the whole day only about money. How can I make money? How can I make money? How can I have more interest in my bank? How can I do this? How can I do? What is that you are thinking the whole day? Some of you, maybe you think the whole day about the car that you are about to buy. Let me tell you something. That very car can be your God. Thou shalt not worship Peugeot, which is my car, but the Lord your God. Thou shalt not worship Mercedes-Benz, but the Lord your God. Thou shalt not worship... Oh, Jesus. What are you busy the whole day in your mind? I am not in your mind. What are you busy the whole day in your mind? Maybe you are busy because you are angry to somebody. The whole day you are praying, God, let that person die. That very thing is your God. That very thing is your God. Is your God. He's controlling you already before you know. What does consume your thinking? Hello? What does consume your thinking? How can I make this? How can I build 3 houses in Ghana? My friend, you first settle your life here, then we talk about building 3-4 houses in Ghana. Why? Because you don't have the money. So in order for you to make the money, you are going to chop here and there to make the money to build the housing. No, my friend, first seek the kingdom of God, and later we talk about those 3-4 villas. A righteous man here will be righteous man there. But if you are not righteous here, you will never be righteous there. Hello, what does consume your thinking pattern? What do you think the whole day? Eh? Have you ever think about it? What do you think the whole day when you wake up in the morning? Some of you, hey, I know what you are thinking. You are thinking about your problems. Now, then I come to tell you something. Your problems are your God. Some of you, maybe you wake up because the whole day you are thinking about your mother-in-law. Then your mother-in-law is your God. Whether you like it or not. Hello? Hey, are you listening to me? So the first clue is, what are you desperate about? Second is, what does consume your thinking? What do you think the whole day about? And the third clue, the last clue, what does consume your time? Eh? What does consume your time? You are 24 hours a day alive. What do you do during those time? What is it? Some of you like sleeping. Then sleeping is your God. Your bed is your God. Some of you, you like to watch television the whole day. Even you can tell me what kind of color Dr. Phil dressed as a suit that very day. Or Oprah Winfrey's hairstyle. You know it very well. In place of listening to those things, have time for God. What does consume your time? Some of you guys, young guys, whole day behind computer, playing. Consuming our time, playing. Computer. Be careful, that computer can become your God. Hello? I'm talking to you something. What are you doing the whole day? Some of you, your mobile phones are your gods. Because you know how to talk on the phone. Talking. Hey, talk, my brother, talk. Talk behind this, talk behind that, talk behind people. Very good. Then your mobile phone, Nokia is your God. Samsung is your God. Hello? What does consume your time? Some of you, your religiosity consumes your time. You are so religious that you cannot even live a normal life. You know, don't look, you know, religion can be terrible, eh? What does consume your time? What is it that you enjoy to do? Eh? That very thing can be your God. And you are saying, Pastor, until today I'm not blessed. Well, put your priorities to the right place. I said, put your priorities to the right place. Don't worship money, worship God. Don't worship husband, worship God. You know, sometimes we parents, hey, sometimes our children can be our God. Eh? Eh? Listen to me. Our children can be our God. We want to do this for them. We want to do that. We spoil them. We spoil them so much. In Japanese, we call them wagamama. Wagamama in Japanese. What does it mean? Spoiled. Spoiled. Everything they cry. Like that. I want it. Everything you want immediately must be. And why? What immediately? You need to discipline your children. Sometimes you must say no to them. Not everything they want. Have it. Spoil them. Make them fat. Let them hunger for one day. Let them not eat for one day. Let them learn what is hunger, what the suffering people are going through. Teach your children dignity, integrity. Don't spoil them. Spoil them. Hello. We love them, and then they become our God. And when they become teenagers, that you see how they rule you. Where is God in your life, my friend? Where is God in your life? What is it that consumes your time? What? Put God at first place. I want to close with this and tell you what we will do next week. You can be sure whether God is in your life or not, in the right place or not, is that by decisions that you make in life, are they based on God's will? Next week I will teach about that. How can you make decisions that are based upon the will of God? How do you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? How do you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit that decision you are making is from God? Next week I'm going to teach you about that. Decisions you make in life, are they based on God? And then I will also teach you how to consult the Holy Spirit. How do you consult the Holy Spirit? What can Holy Spirit do to you the coming weeks? My brothers and sisters, the disciples of Christ went to him and said, "Who will sit at your right hand?" And Jesus said, "That very thing does not depend to me." In other words, it depends to God and it depends to you. When you want to be good at everything that is nice, honesty, integrity, love, when you are good at those things, when you are good at serving God and serving people, then there is a chance for you to see that my right hand or left hand. And the biggest chance for you is this: put me at your right hand, put me at your left hand. Because when you put me at your left or your right hand, then automatically you are at my left or right hand. That is the message of Christ for you, my brothers and sisters. What do you do? What do you do? Who is first in your life? Put him first in your life. Don't say only Jesus. Don't say only God. But do it. And I guarantee you, I lay my hands upon the word of God and promise you today, when you choose for God, you will never be ashamed, my brother and sister, because the righteous shall be blessed. Hallelujah.